First Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. 1 Peter 3, verse number 18. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, that is baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. Shall we all say, Amen. There are many in the religious world today that are very much afraid of this passage. And the reason that they are afraid to read this passage is because it teaches something that goes contrary to what they believe. Because many in the religious world, they will tell you that baptism does not save you. They want to believe that all you need to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved. And baptism is just an outward sign of inward grace. And therefore, if you are attending that particular church, or one of those churches, baptism becomes optional. If you feel like doing it, you do it. If you don't feel like doing it, you don't do it. And so many people, some feel like doing it, and some feel like they don't want to do it. So they don't do it. But Peter is making a comparison between Noah and the baptism that saves today. It seems quite straightforward and to the point that it's quite strange why this one subject will cause so much controversy in the Bible. But Noah, the Bible says, was a good man. And there was this time that God says he looked in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5 and 7. God said he looked at the world. It was just evil continually. The whole world was just filled with evil. And God said he was sorry that he made man. And when you can make God feel sorry, you must really be bad, church. Because God is not somebody that feels sorry or regrets when he does something. Because the God that we serve is long-suffering, he's patient, and when you can be that evil and that bad, that you can allow God to feel sorry, then something must have been seriously wrong at that time. And if we today look at the world that we are living in, and we say that this country, Jamaica, is such a corrupt nation, and it's such an evil place. And I would like to believe, church, that back in the days of Noah, it probably would have been more corrupt and more evil present at that for God to feel so sorry that he had made man. And God says to Noah, I'm going to destroy the world. But then the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, church, when God looks down on man, the only righteous person he could see was Noah and his family. And the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Almighty God. And I would like to believe, church, that all of us call ourselves Christian. That if God, that God Almighty at this time is looking down upon us, and I would like to believe that he can say to us that he has found grace that we have, he has found grace looking down upon us because we are pleasing to him. And sometimes as God's people, don't try to fool ourselves, but sometimes we do not find grace in the eyes of God. Because sometimes the kind of lifestyle that we are living, we are just as wicked as the sinner man out there. But it is my hope, church, that we can find grace in the eyes of God. It is my hope, church, that if we are serving God, that God can look down upon us and he can see our righteousness and say, yes, there go a faithful sister, a faithful brother. My children are faithful to me. And we can truly say we have found grace in the eyes of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing, church? To be able to say, I have found grace in the eyes of God. Because when you find grace in the eyes of God, then mercy comes with it, church. And God was merciful to Noah because he could have destroyed Noah with the entire world. But because Noah was a righteous man, God was merciful unto Noah. And let me tell you something, church. There is a day coming when God will judge this world. And I hope that everybody in this room tonight, that God will indeed find mercy upon you. Because if God is not finding mercy upon you, then woe unto you, church. Woe unto you. So Noah found grace in the eyes of God. The Bible says we too are saved by what? By grace. Not of works that any man should boast. In other words, you can't work your way up into heaven. You know, you can't go around saying doing good deeds and hope that God will just say, that's a good man, put him up there too. Because some people are trying to work their way up there in the church. Some people are donating as much as they possibly can find to give to the Haitians. Because they feel in their mind, if they continue on this path, then therefore what happened? God will take them up there someday. But Noah was a man that was saved because he had faith in God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Hebrews 11, verse number 7. What does that verse say, Brother Fisher? Hebrews 11, verse 7.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
So the Bible says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet what? Seen. Now it must be an act of faith, Brother Mitchell, that God can warn Noah that something terrible is about to happen. Something that the world has never in history seen before. Because God has said that a flood was going to come. And that flood was going to destroy the world. And Noah never as before seen rain, much less a flood, but a fisher. And Noah believed that this flood was coming because God said the flood was what? Coming. And so the Bible said, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, Noah obeyed the Almighty God. And sometimes, church, we in this modern world believe, church, that when God speaks of a hell and a judgment and destruction to come, we have never seen such destruction before. Yet still, church, God expects us to what? Believe it, church. You know, when I left here last night, I got a little piece of religious hard talk. Want to watch it last night? Want to reach them early enough? Just a little piece. And they had that fellow named Mark Wignall and Brother Mitchell. And there had another gentleman named, what's his name again? Enriquez or something like that. But anyway, both of them believe that there is no God. They cannot fathom in their mind the concept, the idea of a God. And in their little belief system, they cannot believe that there is a place called hell. They don't believe that there is a judgment coming to destroy the world. They cannot see themselves in that picture any at all. And let me tell the church, Noah was a man, church, who was in their position at once in the church. That he had never seen the level of destruction that God was talking about. And none of us here, church, will ever live in our lifetime to see the level of destruction that God is talking about when he speaks of hell. But yet still, church, God, like Noah, church, God expects us to believe that if he says there is a hell, rest assured, church, there is a hell. If he says there is this great judgment coming, there's a judgment coming. And if he said, and the example of Noah, church, is an example that says to us that if God told Noah that the world is going to be destroyed and Noah believed it, church, believe that there is a hell coming, church. Believe that there is a judgment coming, church. Are you with me, church? Because and the Bible says that Noah, being divinely warned of things he has not yet seen. And sometimes people question us, church, as to where is this hell? If it's up there, down there, around the corner, around the world. Church with us don't know. All we know that the Bible speaks of heaven being up and hell being down. We don't know how far down, but we just know it's a complete church. And if God says that this idea of hell is real, and this destruction is coming, church, I hope I find grace in the eyes of God. And I hope everybody here tonight, church, will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because if we don't find grace, if God's grace is not upon us, church, and we receive his mercy, then heaven will surely not be our home. And so, the Bible further said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, that Noah was commanded by God to build the ark. He was commanded by God to build an ark, you know. And Hebrew writer said that he labored 120 long years to build an ark. Now the Bible says in that verse I just quoted, it says that Noah did all that God commanded him.
Amen.
He didn't just say some of it in a church. Because we mankind, you know we are, Brother Mitchell. You'll be told to move this table and put over there in that corner. Right? And we feel that Brother Mitchell don't have much sense. Brother Mitchell don't understand that corner is where the breeze come in and the dust going come on it. So we want to put the table around the back. Because Brother Mitchell don't know what to start. That's how we think in a church. And when God said to Noah, go ahead and build this ark, and give for the blueprint for it, did not question God.
Amen.
He did exactly as God commanded him to do. Because God knew that there is this God who knows all things.
Amen.
And if God says do it this way, why should I question God?
Amen.
And the Bible said that Noah did all that God was commanded him.
Amen.
And I hope tonight, church,
Amen,
that there's somebody here who's willing to do all God commanded him to do. Now, sometimes we like to do part way. I was talking about that last night. You know, we like to hear, believe, confess, and repent, and we just stop.
That's
not doing all in a church.
Right.
And sometimes we as Christians, sometimes we come to church very regularly, you know, and we sit down, and sometimes we say the loudest amen. I think Brother Michel is preaching, I didn't say amen. Yeah, amen from here on the back there. But are we doing all that God commands us to do? Because sometimes we deceive ourselves because sin is deceptive and deceitful, church. And sometimes we deceive ourselves into believing that we are okay.
That's right.
But we know that we are not doing all that God commands to do. God, when God asks us to do something, church, God doesn't believe in doing things partway. Halfway. If you move the table, go over there, move the table, go over there. Don't put it in the center and say you're tired. I know I get tired easily, you know. Don't move it a little distance, boy, I can't manage no more. Because if God asks you to move the table from over here to put over there, God knows you can do it. So you think when God asked Noah, Brother Fisher, to build the ark, God was guessing if Noah could do it? He knew exactly that Noah had the ability and the strength to do it.
That's right.
He knew in a church. Now, listen, church. Now, can you imagine now this man Noah was laboring for 120 years? Now, that's a long time, you know. Building one little ark. I was talking to this brother. Where's the brother that built this little thing here? Is he here tonight? Huh? Not here tonight. Good. I can't say anything I want to know. So anyway, so I was talking to him last night, and the last time I came here, and I kind of like it, Brother Mitchell. It looks good. So he told me that it took him 2 years to really finish building it. 2 years, because, you know, it's a labor of love, and he just feel like he might take him time on it. So it took him 2 years to build it. So I'm asking him, Brother Mitchell, to build one for me. Right? And he said to me that, boy, this one take 2 years, you know, or how long you're going to take? But I would hope that it is not 2 years or not 120 years. I would hope that the love for me will be a lot stronger than Brother Mitchell, and that he will work a lot faster. But it was a labor of love for him. And he took his time and he built it because he was giving it to the work of God. And Noah's like that, church. And you saw how good it looked, church? No, he could have in a church. He could have just buy some pine wood down the road and just build up something. And, you know, sometimes we don't give our best to God. So he could have just gone down the road and just throw some things along and say, boy, church, I'm going to take that. But you saw how heavy it is. That the last time I came to about today, we were struggling to move it. Because it's quality wood. Why? He was doing it for God. He was doing it for God. And he took his time. Took his time. Noah took his time. You know why? It wasn't a small ark. It was large. And it's only Noah and his family, 8 of them, that labored on this ark, church. 8 of them, because the 8 of them apparently was the 8 righteous ones. Because you know, God's not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked in a church. Do you know that, church? God not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. If you are righteous, you are right with God. And so even when God was destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, and he spoke to Lot, the righteous Lot came out, and the wicked were destroyed. Because God will never destroy the righteous with the wicked. So if you think you're righteous and you are destroyed by God, that means you're wicked. Amen, church. Because God is not going to destroy his people. If you're righteous, you're just righteous. But sometimes we want to pretend as if we're righteous. Don't say amen on about there. Sometimes we want to pretend, Brother Fisher, as if we're righteous. When deep down in our heart, we know we're not too righteous. We know, you know. And then I used to preach a sermon some years ago, and I said, what if God, one Sunday morning, Brother Mitchell, what time you start here? 9:30? 9:45. What if God one Sunday morning at 9:45, Brother Fisher, blew that trumpet there? Lord have mercy. Can you imagine if at 9:45 one morning, God, Sunday morning, you know, God just blew that trumpet? I'm feeling might be it, you know. Yeah. At 9:45 one morning, that trumpet going blow, you know. We're supposed to be here worshiping God. You're at home doing all you can do for self and not doing that all that God commands you to do. So can you imagine that day, Brother Fisher, the trumpet blow, and somewhere at home I watch a program on TV, cut out with 10. You can imagine that? Because we're not doing all that we can do. But Noah was working for God. Because God asked him to. And while he was there, church, 120 years, people were looking at him, laughing, mocking, jeering. No, that's not too easy in a church. To be working and people just calling you all kind of names. You know, if you work with, many of you in this room work, don't you work? Hello? Hello? Recession? Many of you work. And if Brother Fisher, if you're at school and people start to criticize what you do, if you're like offended, don't it? And you get discouraged and you don't want to continue anymore. But Noah, for 120 years.
That's right.
All the talk them attack, not bother him. Them could talk from now till tomorrow morning, and the next 120 mornings, not bother him. You know why? God.
Amen.
God, you know? Because God said, he must build the ark. And so, in this environment that Noah was working in, just follow me now. Here is this man looking like the biggest fool on the planet. The biggest fool, you know. Let's pretend for a moment that this little thing here is shaped like an ark. So let's pretend that this building is the ark. You know, brother Michel designed this building, but it almost want to look at the pictures of the ark. I don't know, brother Michel had something in mind when he was designing. Brother Fisher, you were there with him? What about designing? It has this little, if you see the picture of the ark, you know what I'm talking about. But it almost want to look like the ark. So let's say this is the ark. Right? And Brother Michel, a very slim man, not too stout, not too fat like Brother Gilbert, but anyway. And Brother Michel is building this ark. And people are walking by, cursing him and say, what a fool. What kind of ark am I building right now for? And every day for 120 days. How much days, Brother Fisher? Yeah, 30 years. How much days is that? How old are you? So that's why I have to teach him how much they know, but he now work on the program. But thinking that I calculate long time in the material, that's enough. But anyway, a holy body is. And every day at church, people pass by and see this man working, laboring. And they're wondering, why is this idiot building a boat on dry land? Why is this idiot saying that rain is going to fall whenever it's rain falling here? Why is this idiot saying that the world is going to be destroyed when we don't know nothing about that? And some people think that we Christians are idiots because we're saying that there is this judgment coming. And year after year, we are preaching the same message and they are not listening because they think that we are idiots and we are fools. But, did the water come?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And not just any amount of water. Can we not see rain yet in the church? Sometimes we see some rain fall and we say, boy, God, you must have come back again. Sometimes I see some flood, like we mentioned last up in Kentucky, when the river just come down and all houses go. And you wonder, is this the end? And that is nothing in comparison to what Noah went through, church. Because the entire earth was filled with water, covered. And Noah was in the boat. He and his family and the animals. That brings us, church, to 1 Peter chapter 3.
Amen.
Verse 21. So what about this text is saying to us this morning, tonight? Is that Noah was saved by water. And there's also now an antitype that now saves us, which is baptism.
Amen.
Now, listen, church. When the flood came and destroyed the world, you know what the flood of water was doing, church? It was destroying the evil, the sin upon this world. Are you with me, church? And in destroying the sin, it was in also saving who? Noah. So it's twofold in the church. It was destroying the sin and at the same time saving Noah. Now, church. You think it's the same thing baptism does today, church? Yeah. When we are baptized, church, it destroys this sinful man and saves the righteous one, church. You hear me, church? No. In our time, church, because sometimes people get confused with the word baptism thing. You know the way the church? So they have a little glass sometime in some of these churches. And Brother Mitchell, I go with it tonight. Don't worry about it. And then walk away, I'm just taking a little water and, you know, sprinkle upon your head and you're what? You're baptized, don't it? That's right, go. Hello?
Yes,
yeah, man, I see you, so you go.
Yes,
right? You know the Catholic church? Yeah, man, I sprinkle a little water there. And you're good. And sometimes you have baby, then just hold over your head back for you, and then pour the cup of water, and you're good. No, no. Calm down, calm down. You bring back some memory? Okay. Now, it's a brother with his name, I'm not a father because they're deep Tuesday, but in Noah's days, church, it wasn't a glass of water that destroyed the sins of the world.
Amen.
You remember, church?
That's right.
Now, it wasn't a glass in a church. Now, this is a glass that can't destroy too much. Maybe if I throw some down my nostril, I might get drunk. It might drown my church. But it can't destroy too many of us, church. This little glass here. So there obviously was a whole heap of what? What? No. Some people believe, church, that we're a little. Come here, I hope I walk around and say, don't worry about it. But I fish and I worry. Now, holy power. Now, hear what now, church. Am I going to some of these churches? I want the people to follow me now, and don't lose me. If I go to some of these churches, Brother Fisher, you see some pictures hung up. Right? You see the picture hung up, church. The man is standing in the river, you know. What are they doing? Pouring water upon the man here. Yes. No, he's actually the Brother Fisher. Inside the river, standing up. Water surround him. Just hit the man, the church.
That's right.
Just dip the man. The man is in the river, church. They want to paint this picture as if it's Christ, right? But you know what all of Christ look like. Some believe that Christ. But anyway, so I'm standing in the water. So let's pretend that this little hill that we have here is the river and water flowing. And they have this man standing up in middle of the water, the river. And at the same time, church, they get a dip, go down and get a little thing with water and throw it in. Foolishness, brother.
Amen.
Just man. Because the word baptism itself.
Exactly.
That's what it means. And it means to submerge.
Amen.
To go out of the church. And so it means a barrier. And so if you can't bury a man with a little sprinkling of water,
that's
right. That can't save him.
That's right.
That can't wash away him sin, church. That's all. Church. So deep. In. Church, the little water can't move that, you know. This is what God used? Blood.
Amen.
You remember, church?
Amen.
Blood him using, because some of us, we sins too big, too deep. And it stains us, church. And God said, just dip the man. No, church. Some people out, church, will have the river standing there, church. And they go and they catch a pail of water. Now, church, why would I catch a pail of water, church, when I have the baptismal pool? Or when I have the river or the sea? I don't need a pail of water. Now, follow me now, church. Follow me now. Brother Fisher, get for me, John chapter 3, verse 23. John 3 and verse 23. Are you there, Brother Fisher?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Me? And John also was baptizing in Enon,
yes,
near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized.
John was baptizing where, Brother?
In Enon.
In Enon. Now, why was John baptizing in Enon? That's the question in the church. Why? Couldn't John have gotten a pail of water, Brother Mitchell, and just walk with it? Start throwing water. Don't worry, Brother Mitchell. When I throw the water for you tonight. But couldn't he have done that, church? Yeah, he could have got a pail of water, man. And body baptized. But the Bible says the reason why it was in Enon was because, church. When you see the word because in a church, so you see that word, I'm not right somewhere, but as good as Brother Mitchell, but let me see if I can follow him. When you see that word because, what it means? Brother Fisher, you're the teacher. Reason. Right? This is the reason Why? He was baptizing in Enon because there was what? Much water, church. You see that? Say in other words, church, the little glass not going to help John. And it's him thirsty like me. That's about it. That pill would not help John. You hear me, church? Because he needed what? Much water. Because when you are being baptized, church, you need much water. So if the river you go to church is kind of running dry, can't help the church. Find somewhere where there's what? Much water. And so don't let people fool you and confuse you into believing that they can sprinkle you and they can pour the water. That's not it, church, because you need much water. You follow me, church? You need it, church. Much water. Now, get from me. Matthew 3, verse number 5 and 6. I don't finish the pill, brother Mitchell, so don't move. I still have a pill in mind. Yes, brother.
Then went out to him Jerusalem,
yes,
and all Judea,
mm-hmm,
and all the region round about Jordan,
yes,
and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins.
They were baptized of him where?
In Jordan.
What is Jordan? River. And Jordan is like a sacred river in a church. And like a plow river, you know. A deep water we are talking about, church. Much what? And where they find them? That's where they were baptized in them, church. In the river Jordan. Now, church, again, him could have walked, could have like a pier, but him decided, no, pier not good enough. Because the pier carried too much water. Hear me, church? No. Acts 8. Now, go back to my pier. Don't leave my pier. Acts 8, Brother Fisher. Verse 35 to 39. That's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Right? When Philip went and preached him, and he asked him, what must I do? Yes, Brother Fisher.
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Yes.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?
Just a minute, brother. So they were journeying on this road. This man going back home. And he says, see, here is what? What does hinder me to be baptized? Now, if you're making this journey, Brother Fisher, going back home, going to the desert, you must have a little pitcher of water somewhere in your chariot. Say amen, church. So if you have a little jug, igloo, a water. I found this. Nobody igloo come with me. It's empty though. But you have like an igloo with water going home, making a journey to the desert. Right? You know, throw some pan and you're cool. You can't do that. You can't do it, you know, if that's what God wanted. But then the text says that they came down, Brother Fisher. And what happened?
And he commanded the chariot to stand still.
Yeah.
And they went down, both into the water.
No. Back to my appeal again, church. Right? I can't stand up in this field. I always 12 and a half, sometimes 13 shoes. So my feet are not too small. And I cannot hold in this field. But not only was Philip in the water, but the eunuch was also there.
That's right.
So both of them were standing in the water, church.
That's right.
No, church. Again, if it's not a burial, church, you don't need to stand in the water, church. Because both of them could not step down into this pail, into a little igloo of water, church. And let's take what the next section. And both went down and what?
Into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, he baptized him.
Yeah.
And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught.
When they come up where?
Out of the water.
Unless he's a genie. I forgot that earlier. So, yes, Both of them were G. You know, G did them like a tiger right now, and he went, Margaret, don't have the bottom, and he can't come out of my little butter. So unless they were a genius, church, then just maybe. And you know, when you talk about maybe with genius, up at top of fat for genius, you know. So along with the little foot part, they said, I go down in there. You with me, church?
Yeah.
And I we all know genies are figments of our imaginations.
Yeah, that's right.
So that not going to work either, church. But the text says that when they came, what? Up, out of. In other words, church, they were down here, sir. And he said they come out of it, church. You follow me, church? So they were down, and they came what? Up. In other words, church, there's some go down, sir, and come up, sir, church. You follow me, church? Because it was what? Much water. Much water, church. Now, don't be confused in the church. Because people want to confuse us. People want to confuse us into believing that any little sprinkling can do. Now, follow me now, church. Now, back to this man called. Now, the world during Noah's time was buried under much water. Holy for water, church. So much so that the world has never seen it since. Holy for water. And as far as the eyes could see, the land was filled with water. And for 40 days, Noah could not leave the ark because there was much water on the land. 40 days. The world was buried under much water. Why? Sin was in the world. And the only way you can get rid of sin is through what? A burial. You follow me, church? So by the time you get to Romans chapter 6, verse number 3 to 5, somewhere around there, Brother Fisher, what does it say there now?
Know ye not,
mm-hmm,
that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ,
yes,
were baptized into his death,
mm-hmm,
therefore were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we should also walk in newness of life.
So we are buried with who? Christ. In what?
By baptism.
By baptism. In other words, church, baptism is what? A burial.
Amen. Amen.
No, you don't bury people by throwing water on top of them head. Throwing some dirt and say, all right, you can't stay. If you ever see a burial man and throw some dirt and leave him alone, guess what I'm doing? Eh? On the faithful call word in that church? Him stink.
That's right.
Don't it? Kind of bury a church. But when you bury him, church, he's covered completely. And you can't leave out him head. You can't leave out him shirt. He has to be completely covered. And so we, that when we die, that they bury us 6 feet under church. Got a nose that's a stinker and some. So they ensure that one. Well buried. Well covered, church. That's what baptism does, church. It buries us. And when it buries us, church, you know what it's doing, church? It is killing that old sinful world, that old sinful man. Just like in Noah's day, church, when the water covered the earth, church, it was destroying the sin in the world. And God is saying, when you are buried, church, it is destroying the sin in your life. And so you come up. All things have passed away. And behold, all things are new. Does baptism save? Accept it, church. And you know, when the Bible talks, you know, some people like to go all over the place and say, poo. But we can't just take the word at one time.
That's right. Amen.
But we can't just look at 1 Peter chapter 3, right? And verse 21, and just take it as it is.
Amen.
Why do we need to jump all over the place?
That's right.
If it says so in one verse, It is good enough, church. I could give you 10 others that would say the same thing, but guess what, church? I don't need 10 more. Because one is enough. See, when God speaks, church, you only need to speak once.
That's right.
Just once. But we like to reason, you know. That's why we're good at reasoning and talking our way. So when God said to Naaman, listen, you have a problem called leprosy. Go and dip in the Jordan. You're crazy. Me, God, for dip in that river there. That the muddy, dirty water.
That's right.
Why did I go in that water?
That's right.
Because in Naaman's mind, the prophet has discussed her.
That's right.
And everything gone.
That's right.
Just lay your hands on me and I'll be clean. But that's not the church. If God said you are to dip 7 times, then go and dip 7 times. If God said you need a burial, go take the burial, church. If God said I'll find some dirty water downtown and dip in it, go dip in it, church.
Amen. Amen.
Why would you set the standard for God?
That's right.
Who are we, church?
Right.
To set the standard for God.
That's right.
And God is not too concerned in the church about our opinion.
That's right. Amen.
I notice that he completely ignored Naaman's comments.
That's right.
And he still had to go and dip in the dirty water anyway.
Amen.
So you can always talk about, Brother Mitchell, you know, sometimes you baptize people, the water not too clean, don't you? Amen. But who cares? Who cares? Where to one full of mosquito? You know why we don't care too much? It's not that water that saves us, you know.
That's why
the text says it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people think it's a bath we're gonna take around this like so around there. So we are cleaning out some dirt. Is that the dirt you're cleaning off, you know?
Amen.
So is that remove of the filth of the flesh, the dirt on us, church? That's not the reason for baptism.
Amen.
So if you look at Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12 and 13, Brother Fisher, it's going to tell us something about this thing called baptism.
Amen.
That is more than just the removal of filth and dirt. It's not in church.
Right.
It is an act of what?
Colossians 2:12. Buried with him.
Buried with him by.
No, 3:12.
Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any.
I'll go to the next verse, brother. I get all that, brother Mitchell. Yeah, 2:12 and 30. Brother Mitchell, will be not for me. Colossians 2 verse 12 and 13.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Is that like a word in those verses that it mentions? It says something about faith, Brother Fisher. You see that, Brother Fisher? Read that section again for me.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God.
Through the faith of what?
Operation of God.
Baptism is an act of faith. Do you know that, church? It is God working through that water. But it's an act of faith. And so it's not about just going into that water, church. It's going in and believing that God says your sins are washed away, and they're washed away. If you're going there, church, and you don't believe, then, church, you're going to have a wet sinner.
I go.
You're going to the pool of dry one and come back a wet sinner, something like so. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, if you don't have the faith, church, to believe that God says that this baptism washes away your sins, then you're wasting your time.
That's right.
Because you have to believe, church, that when you go into this burial, you have to believe in the church, that when you go into this burial, your sins are no more, church. You have to believe that, church. And the moment you don't believe that, the sins are still going to be there. Because if God says that this thing called baptism saves us and it washes away our sins, I'm not going to argue. Now, I might argue, Brother Mitchell, because sometimes I might believe him to have too much sense, but I might argue with him because he's man. How can I argue with God? How can I argue with the Creator? The man who built this world and put us in it. How can I argue with him? I would be foolish to be arguing with, and yet still there are so many people that are still arguing with God. And I don't need to argue with God. Because the text says, baptism does no saves. The text says that. The text says, just like when Noah was saved by water, so we today are saved by water. Am I going to argue with God? No. Now, you might be here tonight, and you might be arguing with God. Don't argue with God. It's not God's fault. Don't argue with him. God just set the thing and expect us to accept it. Amen. Either accept it or you reject it. That's how it goes. No. So if him set it out at church and you want to refuse it, that's your thing. Your choice. But one thing I'm certain of, church, this pail of water will not save you. Will not save you. No amount of sprinkling is ever going to save you. Only if you are willing to be immersed, submerged, deep, go under the water, that your sins will be washed away. Amen. How many Christians are in this place tonight? Raise your hands, let me see the Christians tonight. Look at the whole place, almost everybody. Weren't you glad when you got that dip? Amen. Church? In my last night, I don't remember one of the things that I brought up. If you mind, I'm forget to have my wife's birthday sometime. Every once in a while, that's not a good thing, Brother Mitchell. Don't forget Sister Mitchell's birthday. It's not a very good thing. How long are you married, Sister? How long are you married to Brother Mitchell? Same thing. Sister Mitchell, how long are you married, Sister? Thank you. See, that's enough of a long drawn out thing of boat. When is her birthday? Don't answer that. Sorry, but let me tell you, don't answer that one. Don't worry, I know my wife's birthday. Don't worry about it. I might forget that the day approaching, but I remember it. But sometimes we tend to forget things, don't we? Sometimes we tend to forget. But we can never forget, church, the importance of our salvation.
Amen. Amen.
We can never forget the sacrifice that God made for us.
Amen.
We must never forget that Jesus Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
We must never forget that there is a day of reckoning coming for all of us. We must never forget that there is a heaven and there is a hell. We must never forget that one of these days, the trumpet of God will sound. And if you're not found faithful with God because you have not been saved by baptism, then your soul will be lost. Whose fault would it be? You know, we like to blame people, Brother Fisher. We blame. I have some young men I work with, and sometimes I tell them, sometimes I'm talking to them, and, why the police arrest you? Well, you know, said my mother did behave herself a certain way, moon in the position right now. And when I go to school, a little boy never come and moon after lick him. It's never our fault. But on the day of judgment, whose fault is it going to be? Because I'm certain you can't say, well, Brother Mitchell is you, because you never talk to me the word of God good. Because every time I come here, I hear something about the plan of salvation. Every single gospel meeting. You can't say, boy, you never get enough teaching at church, because let me tell you, Brother Mitchell is more knowledgeable than Brother Fisher than a lot. Some of you know well taught. And you can't say we're not here tonight to hear the message of God. Because if you only hear it once, that's okay with God. It's an opportunity for you to decide in your mind that today is the day of salvation. I want to be baptized. Because I want my sins to be washed away. Today is that day, church. Now let me tell you something, church. Why are you listening to me? Those of you who are not Christian. You have like a voice going on inside your head. Telling you to sit in your seat. Saying to you, do not get up. Just stay there. You know who they're talking to you? Him called the devil, church. Because he doesn't want you to move from that seat anywhere in the church. Just stay there. It's him talking in the church. Just sit there. Fold your hands. And what's the song you're going to sing, brother? What's the name of the song? There is power in the blood. So when we start singing that song, there's power in the blood. You're going to sing like you believe it, you know. That's what I give birth. But guess what? There's a voice talking. I'm not mad at getting mad in a church. It's just the devil saying to you, hey, stay there. Because he knows that you need salvation. He knows, you know, that you need to obey the gospel of Christ, that you can become a servant of the Almighty, and he doesn't want that, you know. So many times people leave gospel meetings not being saved because the voice of the devil is talking. Nobody says, church, you have to do it tonight. It would be nice if you can do it tonight. But if you feel in your mind that you want to talk to us some more, let us know that too. Amen. Can we spend the time to talk to you? Amen. That you can be saved. Amen. But tonight you can do it.
Amen.
Tonight you can be saved. Why not stand tonight as we sing, there's power in the blood. Won't you come tonight?